Hi, everybody. This is Tari with Angel Coaches, and I'm really excited tonight. I got a great friend, and also she's going to co-host the show with me this evening. And we're going to talk about, well, I'll tell you, let me, before we say what we're going to talk about, I'm going to ask her to share a little bit about herself. You can see how we're just going to have a great time tonight. So her name's Diane Bucci, and Diane, are you there?
I am here, and thanks, Tari. I am a author of a book called The Return of Mikey, which is about my son, his life and his death, and also the strange phenomena that happened after he died. And it's not a downer. Mikey had autism. He was re-diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, and he was very successful, but he suffered some kind of a delusional episode, and he killed himself. And that's not how the story ends. Then, after he passed away, we started immediately having all these strange things happen that we could not explain. And I had always been very analytical and scientific, and there was just no explanation for these things. So Mikey definitely increased our faith. I always had faith, but he definitely made a believer out of me about life after death and the fact that our loved ones can communicate with us, not in the way that we want them to, of course. When they die, we miss them physically, but they definitely send love, and they still maintain their personalities. He always had a sense of humor, and he used to tell us jokingly, "If I die before you do, I'm going to come back and play tricks on you." And he's still keeping his word on that. He's still pranking us here and there, but it was frequent right after he passed. And I think that when people die, especially young people, when it's sudden and unexpected, I think they're as shocked as we are when they first get on, the other side. And I think there really is a strong urge to connect with the people they're leaving, behind in this world, and let us know where I'm okay still. I'm okay. I'm here. I love you. I'm okay. And so Mikey has been really all around us. In fact, everyone kept asking me and my family, "How are you guys doing so well? You're so strong." Right after he died, and they kept asking us, "What helps you?" And we kept saying, "Mikey." And I know they thought they were crazy, but it was true. It was a very calming, peaceful presence around all of us that we knew it was Mikey. And funny things would happen. So anyway, that's the book. It's my son's life and death, and life after death. And I'm very excited then that you and I are writing this book together about, manifesting what you want. And that's such an overused word, but I don't really know what else to call it. But, trying to really see past your obstacles and see what you want and get there mentally first, get there in your heart first. And we decided tonight we would talk about soul agreements, because that's something that is, you kind of have to make peace with your past before you're going to go into the future with that positive, higher vibrational energy where you believe that you are going to achieve whatever you want, whether it's love, money, career, whether it's just a new car or whatever it is you're wanting. You can get that when you believe it. And so I'll turn it back over to you, Tari, about talking about soul agreements and soulmates for a moment.
You and I were chatting, I think, last night a little bit about it, too, as well, because most people really want to have a great love and or great love. There are some people that want to just have a great love. And the one thing that I know in with soul agreements is, and I want to be really clear about this, because you and I have, in one of our, part of our book is about soul agreements, along with a lot of fun stories about it too as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know that about soul agreements, that you have a soul agreement to experience everything that you experience in this lifetime. Every little thing that you experience, and you plan your life out way before you get here. You plan the people that you're here to learn things with. You plan and a lot of times we learn things by contrast. So when you plan your life out and you plan it, there's not a big wizard on the mountaintop planning it for you, because when I'm doing readings now, I'm able to really tap into that soul planning stage, what you're here to learn and what you're here to do, and the lessons and the people that you're going to meet. But when you're planning your soul agreement and you're planning to meet the man of your dreams or the woman of your dreams, you know, whichever one it is, a lot of times you learn some lessons. And so when I'm talking to people and doing readings with them, or you know, I know you do a lot of counseling and you're a motivational speaker, and I know you and I both agree on this. The biggest thing that you ask the person is, what is their lesson to learn in this lifetime? You know what I mean? Or what is it that you're here to learn before you get that soulmate or that great love? Sometimes it's about learning the lessons. Do you agree?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. And that was one of the lessons. I know a huge lesson for my entire life was acceptance. And Mikey's life taught me that. Number one, I had to learn acceptance when he was 3 years old and I got him diagnosed with autism, because all of a sudden all your hopes and dreams for this normal child you thought you had are gone, and then you know they're replaced with different kind of hopes and dreams that no parent wants to have. You know, it's like, I hope he starts talking someday. You know, I hope he gets potty trained. You know, there's a laundry list of I hopes with a child when they get a label like that. But definitely, I feel like that is something that was predestined. I mean, there was lessons that I had to have. And I've gotten them in different ways throughout my life, and it all seemed to lead up to that last big bang. You know, I'd learned acceptance throughout Mikey's life, and that really helped me to accept his death. So I felt like that was really his purpose in my life, was to teach me, you know, a deepening faith in God, but also to teach me acceptance and unconditional love to a greater degree than I had experienced it before.
That's beautiful. So you learn unconditional love, you learn acceptance, you know, and so do you, and I always feel that when you learn these lessons, because that's the most important thing, is to learn the lessons and then figure out what you're here to share or teach, you know, because every experience with someone is a, you know, you and I, when we met, you're teaching me, I'm teaching you, and every experience is like that with a person, even the lady in the grocery store. But when I'm talking about the soul agreements with you, for you, I know that you've wanted to have the man of your dreams, correct? And I am doing that as well. But do you feel it was important to learn those lessons that you learned?
You know what I'm saying? Certainly. That's all part of that unconditional love. And, you know, people don't realize it's not just romantic love. Everyone dreams of that pie-in-the-sky relationship, but you're learning unconditional love through all these other love relationships you have in your life. And, yes, it's easy for a parent to love a child unconditionally. You know, that's the most pure form of unconditional love we have. But it's very difficult to love a romantic partner unconditionally if they're doing things that hurt you or they hurt your ego. And that's what a lot of us bring, that baggage with these relationships that have hurt us. We're carrying that with us all the time. And instead of working through it ourselves, we keep bringing that negative baggage and we keep projecting it onto the next relationship. So we're essentially repeating the same mistake over and over and over with different people in different relationships. And I'm a perfect example. I was always attracted to passive-aggressive men. If there was a man who told me, I love you, everything's great, it's fine, but his behavior showed me it wasn't, I would be like bees to honey on him. And I had to really take myself out of the dating pool to figure out what's wrong with me, you know? Because, you know, it's not that I attract all the passive-aggressive men, it's that I was attracted to them. And that's one of the lessons I obviously had to learn about self-worth, about trust, about honesty. There's a lot of things that go along with passive-aggression. And that's something that I obviously came in here to learn. And, you know, hopefully I have at this point, but that's what I know, looking back with these men, I believe that was their purpose in my life. They came in here to give me a lesson, and a lot of those lessons are always very painful, but usually the biggest lessons are very painful, but I've learned them, and that's the key. It's going back and revisiting and not looking at them as the enemy, but looking at you as the co-conspirator and saying, okay, Why did I allow somebody to treat me like this? Why don't I value myself more than that? You know, how can I expect them to value me if I don't value myself? And that's what I'm always, you know, preaching to people. You've got to value yourself and treat yourself with love, or they're not going to, because you're basically telling them, I'm not worth your time. So that was a huge lesson in my life, with, you know, learning how to analyze myself and looking back at all these past relationships and seeing a pattern and seeing behavior. And it's not just in romantic love. It's you know, your friends, your coworkers, familial. There's always some kind of behavior. If most people look at themselves, there's some certain behavior that they're attracted to. And it's always a love-hate attraction. You know, it's the thing that they hate the most, but yet that's what actually draws them to that person.
You're right about that. And I know that you and I talked in our book that, you know, that we're writing, we were talking about a relationship, and it was two people that had been together for the guy bought the business so he could be with the woman. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The one,
yeah.
And that's, yeah, so he bought the business so he could be with the girl, and we'll call her Patty and we'll call him Jim. So, you know, because I'm not sure if they're listening yet. But anyway, they were like, "Why are you telling this?" But anyway, Patty and Jim, he bought a business so he could be with her because he saw her one time, and he said, "I knew she was for me," and they were both married to other people, and for 7 years, about 6 years, they worked together, but there was not any intimacy. And then after their marriages started splitting up, and they were living in separate houses, then they got together. And she would call me all the time and say, "Do you think he's for me? Do you think that he loves me?" And yet they weren't together. Diane, remember I told you that?
Mm-hmm.
But, and so finally.
Years.
7 years, exactly. So I just got off the phone with him a couple hours ago, and, you know, they're living in, they're dating each other, going, you know, doing the family things together. And finally, it's, you know, they came together. But he told me, he goes, "I knew I was going to be with her." He goes, "But I had to do what I needed to do with my wife at the time." And he goes, "It wasn't time for me to leave her." And he goes, "I think it's one of those relationships that you talk about, because, you know, I've met with them and talked to them, karmic relationships." And he had a karmic relationship with his wife, and he needed to learn some lessons. And then when he was able to learn them, and she learned what she needed to learn, then they could split apart. Do you understand,
right,
know what I'm saying? You know,
yes,
and
so
then he gets this great relationship with Patty, and Patty's with her ex-husband, and they're breaking up. They'd been apart for years, actually, living under the same house. And then when she left him, you know, and once again, she goes, "I had to stay with him, and I don't know why I had to stay with him." But when we actually did a past life with her, we looked back at a past regression, and those two were in a past life together. You know what I mean? Where they had, they didn't finish it or complete it, and then so they came back in this lifetime to finish their karmic bond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then they were
initiated.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Debt. And when I'm looking back at her soul agreement, she made an agreement to come in with him to learn that lesson, okay, and to, you know, so it, you know, when you learn a lesson, you go to another level, so she could experience great love. But before she experienced the great love that she has now, she had to learn this lesson. And, you know, the soul, there's not a bad or good thing when we're learning. Our soul doesn't see it like that, and it's not a long time or a short time. It may take one lifetime, it might take 100. She learned that lesson, and so now she has her soulmate, or her twin flame. I think it's a twin flame relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, that's something that in a soulmate or soul agreement she learned with Jeff, or learned with her ex-husband. And then, you know, then Jeff and her agreed to come together in the same lifetime. And sometimes that's hard to do, okay? Because
yeah.
The twin flame, the twin soul relationships, you have to be really prepared for them to come and to come into your life. I know, and they don't necessarily have to be romantic. I know Edgar Casey had his secretary was his twin flame, and his wife was his companion soulmate. So, but with these two, they had an agreement to come together in this lifetime and to work together And then for 7 years, they were both, you know, and I knew them both. They were both really struggling because they both loved each other, and they knew, and it felt so wonderful when they were around each other. But to take it to a new level, to they needed to finish what they needed to do with their spouses at that time. And then you have people now, they're probably saying, if they're listening in, and you guys, if you're calling and you want to call and ask us a question about your own relationships or twin soul, twin flame, or soul agreements, please call us. I don't have the numbers here. Hopefully Donald put them up so I can give them to you. But anyway, because Diane and I will be glad to answer the questions. But, you know, people are saying, well, what about marriage? You know, a marriage, I feel, and this is what I've, you know, when I've gotten this from the angels, when I've talked to them, the legal marriage that we have here is God, is man's law. You know, God's law or your higher power's law, your soul's law is so much different. Do you understand? And it's good to honor man's law. But yeah. If you're staying, you know, but if you're staying together with someone and you think it's wrong to divorce, you're not honoring, you know, will say God or whoever you believe in your higher power. That is not true necessarily. You know what I mean? I'm not saying divorce him, but it's also not really, really asking yourself, what are my lessons to learn in this lifetime? And when you get that, and there's, you know, and you understand that, what's my soul agreement? To be with this person, this man or this woman, or to leave them and find another love? Then that's when you start really digging deep and really creating a life, a great life, too, as well. You know, don't you agree with that?
I agree, and I agree with the parents. The kids, I really feel like that's even on the other side, you know, we're saying, you know, it's good for the child to have both parents in those cases, unless there's, you know, somebody says, I need a lesson in learning how to, you know, fend for myself. And I'm sure there's people who come into this world with that lesson. But I think for the most part, even you know, on the other side, you know, I think, okay, to really get people up to kind of a normal, you know, adulthood, they need the man and the woman, and I shouldn't say that normal, but I mean, if they don't have a particular lesson to learn as being a child with just a mom around or just a dad around, I think there is, you know, a lot of benefits to that two-parent home. And so I really feel like that's a huge agreement between two people, whether they are companion soulmates or twin flames or karmic soulmates. That's a big deal for two souls to agree to have children together. And I think that's what really is part of that obligation we feel, that deep-seated obligation that I've got to stay. You know, I've got to stay. Even if I'm unhappily married, I'm going to stay because I'm obligated to help raise this child with this person. This is my mate. And I think it definitely goes beyond, you know, our marriage laws in the physical world. I think it's definitely a soul obligation that you feel like we both got to be here and support this child for as long as we can. But I definitely believe that not all of us are meant to stay with that person that we had that child with. And we've all come in here with many different lessons. And I think some people have a lot of lessons in love and in that relationship, romantic love. And then there's other people who are coming into this world this time around who really had more lessons to learn about treating people fairly, like at work. Their lessons are more outside of their close romantic relationships. And you see people like that who they've never really had a heartbreak. You know, they met and married their high school sweetheart, and they've been happy ever since. And it's you know, those people had different lessons to learn that wasn't really based on that. But I think since relationships are the way that we learn, you know, they are how we learn. If we came into this world and we lived alone all of our lives, we wouldn't learn anything. The relationships are what God gave us, the tool he gave us, to learn about ourselves and to learn about him. And so I think that's really what keeps people moving and connecting and forging new relationships, because you learn one lesson from these people, and then you both kind of have to part ways sometimes to go learn a different lesson with somebody else. It's kind of like a transitional relationship.
I think that is a karmic relationship too, as well, because people don't realize this. Can we talk about the twin soul, the karmic?
Yeah, and I think you could explain the difference.
Okay. Yeah, because I know you and I talked about that. we were talking about, let's talk about the karmic relationship. I'll start out with and go from the hardest to the best. Okay.
Yeah. So,
anyway, it's a draw. Yeah.
The, pain and misery.
Right. You know, the karmic soulmates are the most challenging. They really are. I know you and I have talked about that, and I've had a lot of clients, and I know a lot of my friends have issues, including myself, with karmic relationships. And what are they? When you, we all have past lives, I think, and you know, if you disagree with that, that's cool too, but in past lives, we have relationships that we don't finish, okay, or there's something that has been challenging, that, you know, negative, that doesn't feel right, you know what I mean, or you know,
right.
Yeah.
They exercised their free will in the last life, and they overhurt, they overstep their bounds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, one of the things with karmic relationships that I know is that you know, these people come back. They go into a soul. They go into planning stages before we ever get here, and I'm going to use my own example, if that's okay, because you know, it's not compromising anything. I chose to have my parents come.
Are you there?
I think we just lost Marie. What's that?
I'm not hearing you very well. I think
can you hear me now?
Yes,
can you hear
me
better? Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Anyway, I chose my parents to come into this lifetime with me. And one of the reasons why I did is that in the last lifetime, two lifetimes ago actually, my mom was my friend and my best friend. And my father, remember, love is unconditional. So my father, two lifetimes ago, and I want to be really clear about that, was a guy that I had a crush on. He was super, super good looking. And I was like, wow, I wanted to be with him. And he liked me, but he didn't want to tell anyone he liked me. And in that lifetime, I would had a, you know, I think I was a little chunky. And, you know, and he was a little bit embarrassed about liking me. So I remember going back I had this in a dream that my mom, I saw my mom, and I knew she had married the guy that I wanted to be with. I briefly saw my daughter, and my daughter in that dream state, but I knew I was viewing a past life. And I saw my father, and I go, wow, he looks really good. He didn't look like my dad. He was, like, super good looking. I was like, wow. Yeah. I was sitting there going, how did Dad get the fountain youth? Okay, I need to call him about that. Because I remember in the dream, I knew that I was having this was a vision of some sort. And anyway, so the long story short is when I came back, I discovered, you know, when I woke up the next morning through a series of events over the next 2 days, I knew that it was a past life. And I knew my mom, I figured it out. My mom had actually gotten pregnant with my daughter, who's my daughter in this lifetime, and didn't pay her much attention and married my dad. And it crushed me, of course, you know, my dad, who was my dad in that lifetime. I got to be really clear about that. And so it was a karmic, yeah, right? Because like, what? Marrying? I was like, no. Anyway, so in the planning stages, I you know, in meditation, I chose them both to come back so I could learn the lesson of self-love, right? And which was tough, you know, and I did. And my mom and I, whatever karmic thing we had is resolved. And she died a few years ago, and she's one of my most favorite, like you have Mikey, you have my mother, mm-hmm. who's great, I call them guardian angels when they get on the other side. You know, call them whatever you want. And my father and I resolved the conflict. But out of that, we learned by contrast. And it was really challenging for me when I was growing up with my parents. They were great parents for what they had, you know, what they knew. But I came in here with the self-love issue, and learning that has really, you see things a lot better and more clear, you know what I mean? And so now when you learn to love yourself, then you can attract the man of your dreams. And so that's, you know, but I learned a lot with karmic souls myself that, you know, they were very painful when you learned the lesson. But once you get the lesson, because the only constant was me, and the relationships would change around me, but the only constant was me. And I remember, you know, in meditation one day, this is a few years ago, gosh, back in 2001 or two, I think, And an angel said, "You'll understand why you're going through this." And there was a lot of light beams around me too as well. And she goes, "It doesn't make sense to you now. You feel like it's all about pain, but you'll have a great joy one day and fall in love, have a great love as well." So I was like, "Hey, that's cool," you know. So anyway,
yeah, that's always a good, like, you got that going for you, like. Chevy Chase.
Anyway.
Yes. I think you brought up a good point, though, with soul families. I think we come in with, we travel with soul, with a, you know, a lot of people who are all our soul family, and we reincarnate as different roles within that. We may be just a friend to somebody or an acquaintance, a coworker. We may be in a romantic relationship. They may be family. And we pick different roles in each other's lives to play the next time around, where we can help each other to learn the lessons that we're supposed to be learning. And I think that's when we meet someone when we feel immediately comfortable with. I really believe it's part of our soul family that we just haven't caught up with yet in this life. And the one thing that's very unpopular about that belief, I know with a lot of people, is people who've really hurt us. It's hard for people to accept the idea that we would have chosen that hurt. And
right.
And that's where it's really difficult, especially victims of crime. I've had that in my own family. That's a very difficult thing to think I would have chosen this for my life. And that's what I think a lot of people, you hit the roadblock. If you could get past the roadblock by saying, okay, what if I did? Just say, what if? That's when you can really go deeper into yourself and say, okay, what is my lesson from this person? You know, somebody who's grown up with a parent who was verbally abusive. Why would you have chosen that? And it's hard, and I'm certainly not any victim of abuse, so I cannot put myself in anyone's shoes like that. But I've had, you know, people hurt. I've had a loss. I've had death. I never sat and said, why did this happen to me? Why did, you know, I try to be a good mother. God, why did Mikey kill himself? You know, why didn't he do this to somebody else's kid who wasn't a good mother? That's what people get stuck in, that mentality of the why me, the victimization mode. And
sure.
they can't get past that block of saying, okay, what if I needed to learn something? What have I learned? What am I learning from this experience? And that's what I always go back to when something bad happens or painful. It's what am I supposed to be learning? It's not why me, why did this happen? It's what am I supposed to be learning out of this? And if you can kind of get into that mentality, it all of a sudden you'll start going, wow, you know, yeah, this person was a thorn in my side all my life, but look what I've learned from working with this person or dealing with this person. And that was their role. That was their role when they came in there. And on the other side, we're all friends. We're all buddies. We all love each other. We're not enemies. But some people choose to play or volunteer to play that bad guy in your life just so that you will learn that lesson. And we, I'm sure, have done it in their lives, too. So it is a karmic debt that we're repaying each other.
That is true. So you have the karmic mate, and we've got a caller. We're going to take her in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
But we have a karmic debt that we always that we need to settle. Okay, or not maybe a debt, but a karmic balance, and that's what karmic soulmates come in. Okay, and but I'm going to share this story with you, and then when we'll take this call, and then we'll talk about companion soulmates and twin souls a little bit. That I have a friend of mine who was a client, and she told me, she said when she was a child, she was, and remember, you and I both agree with this. This is in our book, that we think that we choose everything we experience because we plan that in the planning stage, you know, before we ever get to here. So. She said, she was sexually abused when she was a small child, 6 years old. And this is her words to me. She said, I asked God why this happened to me. And I asked my angels because she was always able to have a connection there. And God explained to me that this soul and I had a soul agreement to come in where I could learn forgiveness. And I'm getting cold chills now, and unconditional love. And so, pretty powerful thing there. So when you look at it that way, it's like that she said that man lowered his light so much so he could be, you know, could to help me learn this lesson. Now, there are people probably listening to this show saying, wow, but that's what she feels. And I thought, what a beautiful a beautiful story. And I have another close family member to me that learned the same thing, and they don't know each other. And she said, I needed to learn unconditional love for myself and right. for everybody else. And forgiveness.
Forgiveness is huge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was and I was like, we always learn by contrast, Diane. Most of the time, it'd be great if we say, okay, God, Jesus, angels, Buddha, whoever you believe in, your higher part of myself, I'd like to be courageous. So you show me. Yes.
So
you go, okay.
The greatest line anyone said to me after I lost Mikey was, nothing bad ever happens. There's just different versions of sweet and sour, and that is so true. That is so true. It is contrast. Mm-hmm. Nothing would be sweet if you didn't have sour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but polar opposite. So, I was like, that is a great time to stop for a minute. Let's take Kim because I like that. I'm going to write that one down. Okay, Kim, are you there?
Hi. I actually just logged on, so I've missed part of it.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're here. So welcome to the call. We're talking about attracting the total package, soul agreement, soulmates. And No, but you know, you're a great example because I know that you and I talked last night and you said you've done so much growing in the past few years. And the man that you dated, do you feel like they were your karmic soulmates or do you feel like that they were your did you miss out on your twin soul, or do you feel like that they were here to teach you lessons, which karma always does?
I think they came into my life to teach me some useful lessons.
Ah, good. Good. Yeah. Can we ask, because I know people really liked your prayer that you...
I emailed it to you.
Oh, good. Okay. But what is the biggest lesson that you learned? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, the biggest lesson that I've learned, and I'm still learning it and struggle with it, is to live in the moment and to let it go.
Oh, cool. Now, live in the moment and let it go.
Yeah.
How about self? I always think that you learned a lot about self-love, too, knowing you're the most important person in the relationship. You know, if you value yourself, then, you know, your guy will value you as well. Right? Do you agree with that? Yeah, so what's your question? Because we got Diane here, too. She's amazing with her answers. And she's a motivational speaker and a counselor and wears a lot of hats. Right, Diane?
A lot of hats, Tori.
You have a crystal ball.
So many hats. I'm a cat sitter today.
No, I wear a lot of hats, too. My daughter told me that. She goes, people ask you what you do. I tell them you're the Oracle of Fort Lauderdale. Is that not funny?
Yes, you are.
There you go.
Anyway, what's your question, Kim?
Well, I always ask about when the man is coming, you know, instead of, you know, I'm tired of all these idiots, you know, passing everyone up, I guess.
Passing everyone?
They're cutting in line,
you.
Yeah.
Now, let's be honest now.
Anyway, she really has come a long way there. So you want to know about your guy. Kim, I'm going to tell you something. I used your story today. You're taking July just for yourself, aren't you?
Just for myself. Not in a selfish way, but doing a lot of fitness, doing my tapping, just doing things that I don't mean like going to spas and shopping, not things like that. Just, you know, feel-good things.
To increase your energy, to take care of your physical body. She's getting up at 5 a.m.
Reading, 5 a.m. Riding, go bike riding, things like that.
You're taking a spin class at 6 a.m., Diane. I was like,
7 a.m.
Oh,
7 a.m. It's an hour away from me. It's crazy. It's insane. And I teach it as well twice a week.
That makes you feel better about yourself, and that is what you're working on, and that's how you will attract someone who is the same happy, positive vibration from you, because any kind of exercise, anything you're doing to make you feel good about you will bring that in, because you're not giving off that heavy, negative, you know, I hate life kind of energy, and you see happy people, when you see happy couples, and honestly, how many happily married couples do you know?
Not many.
Most of us can only think of a handful of really happily married couples, and if you see those two people individually, they're really happy without each other, too. And so that's the whole key there, is loving yourself and being happy with yourself without somebody before you can pull that person to you, before you will attract them, because you'll attract that happy person who's at that good place that you're at. You don't want somebody else to bring more garbage into your life.
No.
Kim, I've got to tell you something. I woke up this morning because after our conversation yesterday, and I got somebody that emailed me and asked me for your prayer, and thank you for sending the email. And before you leave the show tonight, I'd like you to say the prayer that you say every morning, to attract everything in your life. But I feel, and this is what I get really strong with you, and I got it this morning too, that you... I have all these things that you a lot of transition in your life with your, you know, you've got your new career. I know that it's the same what you did, but it is different and it's with a new company. You've got a lot more perks with it and you're enjoying yourself, but I know that you've been under under their eye, making sure that all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, and there's not a lot of leverage for you to make mistakes in your new job. And I think, So this morning when I was walking and, walking my dog and meditating and just thinking, the message I really got that because you have valued yourself and you're like, it's more important for me this month to take care of me and my physical body and to do really well in my job. And then you don't wake up thinking that I don't have the guy. When is he coming? You wake up thinking, you know what? I need to take care of myself. Therefore, the energy that you're sending out is attracting the guy to you. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that guy's amazing because I never, and you're my friend as well as you've been a client and a friend too, but I never thought that I would ever see the time when you would say, you know what, I'm putting guys on the back burner or men on the back burner and I'm going to...
Just for the month of July.
Just for the month of July, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
No, I'm just kidding.
Putting that, and putting yourself and your physical, whatever it is, your physical, spiritual well-being first. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that right there is such a big step and huge growth for you. And that's going to help you. It's going to bring the guy in. But I think that he's coming at the end of the summer, somewhere around August, September. And I know where things get easier in your career where you've gone through that growth spurt, transition. Yeah. So that's what I think for you. But I asked you this before, and I know we've got listeners here. So if you would have met the man of your dreams before, would you have been ready for him?
Probably not. I think there was a reason I had to go through all the one heartache after the next. I don't know why. Sometimes I feel like I was being punished. I don't know
You're
why.
You're punishing yourself. That's how I felt. Like I punished myself. Because you have to go and learn those lessons before you have that wisdom to bring with you into that great relationship. Because he needs to know that. He needs to know the same lessons. And you need to be coming in wiser. And that's all part, unfortunately, of all of our broken relationships with people. It's that wisdom that we've gained from that pain that we experience. And you're bringing that wisdom in, and you're bringing that newfound sense of self in, your self-confidence, your self-worth. You've gotten through the worst. You've made it on your own, and you're taking care of you. And that's what I really believe, and I've learned this the hard way too. You're not the right man, Mr. Right, isn't going to come through your door until you're no longer looking for him, until you can wake up and say, I don't need anybody. I'm happy with my own company. I'm happy with my life. I love my life. If I meet somebody, great. If I don't, I'm still happy. I really feel like you need to get to that point before you really meet that perfect mate, because right. They're going to be at that point too. And it's not that you don't meet a mate. It's not that you don't meet many mates when you're not ready for them, but you meet the wrong ones then. You know, if you're still working on yourself, you're only going to be attracted to people who are going to aggravate those issues that you still need to work on. And so, if you need to work on trust issues, you find a million guys who can abuse your trust because that's causing you to work on that issue. So, when I learned the hard way myself, I don't just want a man. I want the right man. And yeah. If I'm not ready for him yet, I don't want another Mr. Wrong.
Well, you know what, guys, I got to tell you this. I want to learn how to cook. Kim, you're in the same situation that I am. She cooks about as much as I do. I want to learn how to cook, so I'm choosing to learn how to cook, so I want a guy that's a great chef. I don't want to learn by contrast. Okay,
yes.
I want this. that's,
well,
that's
I say that. I say if I win the lottery, I want two things, a driver and a chef. That's it.
There you go. There you go. I'm with you on that. But yeah, Kim, she said it. That's good stuff there. And I know Diane is not only saying it to myself, you and herself, but everybody that's listening here. You learned some really cool lessons and some challenging ones. And I know that if you'd have done certain things, it would have been easier. If you'd done certain things, it would have been harder. But you chose the path for you. And believe it or not, I do believe we create everything we experience. And you've learned some lessons. It's going to give you the great love that you're looking for. The best thing I see right now is what you're doing. As I said before, I never thought I'd see the day where you say, you know what, I just need to work on me right now. And then the guy will come. And she's right, when you least expect it. So you're not expecting it.
I'm always, you know, like I was talking to you about that guy, Thomas. You remember the accountant guy?
Yeah, I do.
Then I found, what's that?
I do. I remember him.
Yeah, well, he showed up again yesterday. I had to go to a seminar, and I didn't know he was the guest speaker, but he was.
Oh, wow.
And there he is again. But I found some other things out in the meanwhile about him, and I forgot about him. You know, I said he's not doing that.
But the universe always tests you. The universe always tests you. If you say, nope, I've made a decision, I'm walking away from someone, the universe always dangles that carrot again, and I have
learned that as well. The universe threw this man in front of me, and then he threw the woman that he had a child with in front of me this afternoon.
The one he had a child with?
Is he married? With Damien.
Oh, my goodness.
I live in a crazy place. Tari knows the whole thing. But before I dated Damien, this woman lived with Damien.
And is she with him? Is she with Thomas now?
I think they live together. They're not married.
Yeah, until I'm married. Listen.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not going there. I'm dodging the bullet right there. I thought it was kind of weird, and I don't believe in coincidences.
No, there's no such thing as coincidences. Everything is planned. Kim, go with the flow right now. We're working on yourself, okay?
Right.
And then things will happen to give you real clarity on your man, but your man's coming. I'm going to promise you that. He is definitely coming, okay? And I see him good looking, sexy, probably around your age or maybe a couple years older. And financially does what, you know, we talked about that too.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say anything else.
Okay. All right. And, so just hang in there. But I think in August and September is 2 months for you, and really get all the details of everything before you jump into something. And that's what you're doing now with Thomas and everybody. But that is so fun about Damien and the woman.
Yeah, she lived with Damien before. She had a baby with this guy.
Interesting. Interesting.
Light shed on it for you there.
Yeah, there you go.
It does. It happens.
Little light on that.
In ways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there is interest. No, I'm going to leave that alone right now. But just stay with what you're doing. Work on yourself, and then that guy will show up. I like what you said, Diane, about it. Just when you least expect it, things just always happen. Don't
right, and I know that. I'm a big believer in that, but it just seems like it's always on my mind, you know? Make sure you look your best when you leave for work in the morning. You never know, you know, like I was going to the seminar.
That's
I was
okay.
Like, okay, I'm going to meet all these senior staff. I need to, you know, be on my A game. And look who walks through the door.
Okay. He can eat his heart out now. That's what you're supposed to do, make him eat his heart out. Yeah.
There you go.
Can I ask another question, Tari?
Sure.
Because I can't, as long as I've known you and as long as you've been telling me how to do it, I can't do it. I don't know how to get the answer. When I ask the angels for questions, I don't know how to get, I don't know if I'm getting the answer.
You know what?
I can't figure it out.
Okay, so when you're asking a question...
And I always ask to remember it when I wake up in the morning.
Okay, right. But that... Diane and I were talking about that yesterday. There's about 90 seconds in the morning between give you a couple things here that you can work on. That I think it's 90 seconds when you're sleeping and you're waking up. It's that twilight time.
I love that period, yeah.
ask that question at that time, you're going to get a really clear answer. Okay? Do you understand? Or ask them. Sometimes what I've done, and I'll share this with people, is say, wake me up during twilight and give me the answer. Because there's a 90-second window of time that you can get that answer, and it's super clear, and you won't have a doubt. Okay? That's one way that you can do it. Does that make sense to you, Kim?
Yeah. I don't know how the answer is going to appear. Is it going to...
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel things more, or are you more feeling, or
do
you
visual.
Are you more visual? Then one
ask
of the things
sign.
That I think, as for a sign, but also ask for a vision to come in your dreams, okay? And then you're probably not going to see something right away, or maybe you will, but it's hard to see an angel. A lot of times you'll have a feeling. Do you know what I mean? This is what this feels like when I'm getting a right answer. And remember that feeling, because that's something that you can always trust. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the feeling, I think that you will get it through feelings more, because I know you feel a lot of things too as well. And trust that, and then ask to have a vision in your dream, or ask that in the morning when you're waking up, there's that 90-second period of time where you can get the answer, okay?
Okay, that's
so. How about you, Diane? Do you have any suggestions for her? Because I know that you're extremely intuitive yourself, and I know that's...
With me, it's when I just sit in quietly and think about something, it's like I'm thinking all different scenarios, but I just know one of them is true. And it's that you have to really try to turn your mind chatter off and just think of that situation or that man or whatever it is that you're wondering about, and you'll just know. You'll have a feeling of knowing, and it's what clairsentience. You just know it, and you feel it. It's your gut feeling, and that's always right. It's always right. And, you know, then your mind is trying to talk you out of it all the time. Your mind is thinking, oh, no, that couldn't happen. And that's what people do. They sabotage themselves by listening to their mind chatter, because sometimes people will have, you know, a golden egg laying in their lap, and they keep saying, no, this is too good to be true. So they will think that, and their conscious mind will keep telling their subconscious, make this untrue, because I don't believe it's true. And they will. They will sabotage it until they've ruined it for themselves. And you see people doing that all the time. So, you know, don't sabotage yourself. If you feel something, if you really feel this is right, this is the right path for me, that is the right path for you. That's the right decision, and that's what's going to happen if you allow your mind to agree with it, if you don't let your mind argue you out of it. And that's difficult to do, and I've learned that over the years, you know, of just saying, nope, I'm going to go with my gut, even though my mind's telling me this is impossible. When I really just meditate on it and I just ponder that that person or that job or whatever it is, if it feels right to you, that is right. And that's what your higher self is telling you. Your higher self is saying, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And you just go with that and just tell your mind to shut up.
Yeah.
And believe it, and believe what your gut feeling is telling you is the right path for you.
I'm going to tell you something, Kim. One of the things I know you struggle with is like that the doubting yourself, and then you start having constant talking
Chatter.
Yourself out of things. Oh, yeah.
I got a whole orchestra in my brain going.
Oh, you do. I know. And you're not by yourself on that. We've all had it. But one of the things I'm going to share with you is really, really, you know, practice. And you, this is really a discipline and a focus and a practice, however you want to say it, is that that twilight time in the morning is probably really good. It will do really well for you. And if you just ask the question then, or say, let me wake up. And as you're waking up, just have that question, you know, say, I'd like to know the answer to this question. And another thing, too, is sometimes you get so focused on why is this happening rather than, okay, is this a test or is there something better coming for me? Ask that question, because then you're going to get an answer. Because I know that that's key right there. Always ask the question. Most people are saying, let me meet the person, or let me get the job, or let me get the money. And they're never saying, what is the lesson here, or is this a test? You know, because, you know, your higher self, your soul will give you a test. People are like, oh, God's testing me. You know what? God is a great energy of love. we, our higher self, our soul will send us little tests to make sure that we've got the lesson so that we can get the guide. That's what I'm going to suggest to you, is to ask, to ask for the, it's a set, you know, ask for the lesson, and, you know, and then also ask in, ask in twilight, or, you know, ask for a vision in your dream. But also start asking for your feelings, to be really sure about your feelings, give you some kind of sign that this is the right feeling, because I think that you're very visual, and I know that, but you're also, you know, sometimes to really connect with the angels, they'll come to us in a more gentle way, not just a knowing, like Diane was saying, or just a feeling, okay? And then as you get more accustomed to that and trusting that, then they'll give you more, which is a vision, okay? So, but really focus on what your lessons are, and did you learn them, and what are you here, what are you trying, what is the message here with the situation that just popped up, okay? You know what I mean? Because it's more than you think, I can promise you that, all right? It always is.
Oh, you mean with Thomas?
With Thomas, the way you're feeling,
yeah, it's
just know, yeah, just ask what the lessons are, so too as well, because it's more than what you think, all right? But your guy's coming. But when you get really clear with yourself about that, and you demand that of yourself, what are your lessons? Why did this pop up? What you know, and those kind of things, and then really working on the focus with your feelings and your thoughts, and then the visions will come, and the feelings are going to come easier, and the knowing. And then you'll wake up or start waking up, and you'll get that message in your twilight. I promise you will. Okay?
Okay.
Twilight sleep. Perfect. Twilight wake sleep, I guess, what you call it.
Yeah, I know. I know what it is.
Okay, cool. Well, my dear, thank you for calling, and I'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Okay. Bye, girls.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And great answer, by the way. That's so true, because I've had to learn things the hard way. So now we've had some companion soulmates too as well. I know that your daughter is a companion soulmate of yours, isn't she? Your daughter?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're like, I was always mother daughter with her when she was growing up, but she's definitely sister. You know, I know we had to have been sisters through probably many lives together, because we have a sisterly relationship. But she's definitely a companion, and the companion soulmate is an easy relationship, where you're there to support each other. You don't have a lot of strife, and I've never had hard feelings with her. I mean, if we've hurt each other's feelings, you know, especially when your kids are young, we always would make up right away. I mean, there's never been grudges. We don't carry those grudges, and that's the other big huge roadblock that people put up for themselves is. It's holding a grudge, because you're judging them. You're judging that person, and you're saying, you did wrong, you know, instead of saying, they did what felt right to them, and it's up to me to make the choice what feels right to me. And you can walk out of that relationship, you know, that you can walk away from that, you know, career or whatever, if there's somebody who you feel like they're just there to make you miserable. There's some people that have been in my life that I felt like their role in my life was just to make me miserable. But that was their role. And rather than holding a grudge against them, because it only hurts you, you have to forgive them, because they did what was right for them. And then you can move on. And then you lose all of that heavy energy that makes you stew over and over about something. And that's something that I have.
Yeah. Have a light and love. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, because we've got about 2 minutes, and then we got to get off the call. And you and I are companion soulmates. We've probably been sisters and all that in past life. But we've got a book coming out, and I'm super excited about it. But it's got real life stories and real things that you can use to attract the man or the woman or the person of your dreams. But what's the name of the book? Because you say
what's
it so well.
What's the name of it again? It's called Be the Total Package, Attract the Total Package. And I want to make sure everyone knows it's not just relationships. It's about anything in your life that you're wanting, what you've always dreamed of, that you've put your own obstacles in front of yourself, that you're like, well, I have to have this much money before I can do this. And that's what we're really trying to tell people in layman's terms, you know, it's how this works, you know, how you can mentally forge ahead and see over the roadblock and start causing positive changes in your life, whereas you've been stuck in this rut saying, well, I have to have this relationship before I will be happy, or I have to have this amount of money before I can afford to do this thing that I've always wanted to do. It's really starting to get more in tune with yourself, what you are meant to be here for, you know, finding that higher purpose and just going for it and going for it. And that's when you're going to find your happy place. When you're doing what you love, you're going to attract other happiness into your life. You're going to attract those happy relationships. And so it's not just about a relationship. It's about everything in your life that you want. It's getting what you want and not believing that you can't have it right now.
There you go. Exactly. So doing what you do, doing what you love, and living with passion, whatever that means. That's a good point. Anyway, your book, they can get your book at Amazon.com, The Return of Mikey, or go to DianeBucci.com and get it there. And I know that you're working on some other things as well. And we've got, if you want to have a reading with myself, and we do coaching as well, go to angelcoaches.org. We are also planning an Angel Coach retreat that's going to happen in the next year. So look out for that. And we've got classes and a writer's workshop that Diana and I are doing in a couple of weeks. So you want to check that out at angelcoaches.org. And we're starting a writer's guild as well. So, and a manifesting call. So the manifesting call will help you. That's on Tuesday night at 9:30 East Coast time. And all of the information that I gave you, just go to angelcoaches.org. So anyway, Diana, thanks a lot. It was wonderful having you. And, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. So goodnight.
Thank you. Goodnight.